Welcome to the Wahoo Central Podcast. I'm Jeff White, Director of News Content for VirginiaSports.com. My guest today is UVA head volleyball coach Dennis Hohenschelt, whose office in the McHugh Center is about 20 yards from Wahoo Central headquarters. Dennis, welcome. Congrats on an outstanding season. What's your schedule like these days?
My schedule is Christmas decorations, Christmas tree, doing the things I should have done for the last 4 months around the house, spending some time with the kids, watching some volleyball, those types of things, finalizing some things with the players and stuff like that. You know, we're meeting with the players and stuff like that. So,
is this a recruiting period?
No, we're sort of in a dead period. We're in a dead period right now, so we can't do anything. And, it's sort of catching up on everything that you let go for the last 4 months.
Your team ended the season by winning three of its final four matches. Is there a carryover from that into next year, especially with a team that will return so many players?
Yeah, you know, and I think part of it is not just the winning the three of the four. It's the momentum, as you said, that carries over, and the kids weren't ready to stop playing. You know, you were ready to. It was almost like, hey, it's Monday, let's get back in the gym and work. And the kids were sort of that with that attitude. And there's a good feeling amongst the kids right now, and that's a real positive for us. And I'm excited, you know, for January to get here so we can get back in the gym and start doing some things with them.
ACC had four teams in the NCAA tournament. One of them, Florida State, has made it to the Sweet 16. With another win or two, would Virginia have been in the conversation for a bid this season?
I think, if we look at – I would probably say there's three wins out there that we're looking at. You know, it's everything's so RPI-based right now. You know, it's that way in basketball. It's gotten that way in volleyball. You know, we ended up about 71 in the RPI, and – to us, as you look at it, Miami was probably the last team in, and they were a 51 RPI. And so you go back and you say, well, if we would have won the game against Ohio early in the season, they ended up like 35th in the RPI. And then there's probably two ACC games if we could have flipped. Right. We're thinking, you know, we would have had a shot. We would have probably been in that mix. Not only that, it would have put us in fourth place in the ACC. And, you know, we beat Miami. We beat Miami, you know, 3 weeks ago. And so I think it would have probably put us in that mix right there.
What was the message? You ended the season by beating Maryland at Mem Gym. What was the message to the players, you know, immediately afterwards in the locker room?
My message to them was pretty simple. It was, I think you're good enough. I think you're one of the top 64 teams. But that's not how the tournament works. And so you actually have to be better than one of the top 64 teams. And I told them, look, we've taken big steps, but it's not where we want to be. I wanted to go back in the gym and practice with them on Monday, and I told them that. And this group took a big, big step for this year, and I let them know that that was as important at times as anything we could have done. And so I was proud of them. I let them know I was proud of them. But I also wanted them to know that we left some things on the table that we can't do.
You talked about the step you took. Your first team here finished 9-22 overall, won three ACC matches. Your second team this year went 18-14 overall, 11-9 in the league. This was the first time in 5 years that Virginia finished above 500 in ACC play. What are your expectations going forward into year three?
Well, my expectations are for us to be better, you know. And so, you know, I wanna win the ACC. I wanna make the tournament. I wanna be playing last weekend and this weekend. And you know, it's always the goal, you know. And so, the kids understand that. The kids, the best part about Virginia is you got smart kids and they understand what's going on. And so, they understand the winning part. They don't understand how this whole thing works. It's like they're asking questions, and it's amazing how little they know and understand how this whole thing works. But I think we're going to be better next year. I think with the kids we have coming in, we're going to be better. Getting the two kids that we redshirted, able to play, we're going to be better. We're going to have a lot more depth. And so we're going to challenge them in the spring. Our kids have to get bigger, stronger, faster. They have to be dedicated 100% because we're close. You know, and that's probably the first step in a rebuilding process is getting close. And letting the kids have a little taste. And as I said to them, look, it should be right in front of your face right now. It should be on the tip of your tongue. It should be, you had the little bit of a taste, you know what it's like. And, I'm going to push it. We're going to push in the spring. We're going to push them. We have a lot of bodies. We're going to push them in the spring. We're going to take a big jump. Because last spring, you know, we had about 8 healthy bodies, and so there wasn't a whole lot we could do. It was trying to get through the spring, get some better at some things, which we did. But now it's we're going to push to a level that these kids aren't used to.
You swept Virginia Tech this season. How big a deal was that, especially the first win in Blacksburg?
You find out pretty fast that it's a really big deal. You know, at one point I thought they were going to have a parade for us coming downtown, but... it was a good win because Virginia Tech's a good team. And so anytime you beat good teams, that's a sign that you're making progress. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for Chris there and those kids. And I know a lot of those kids because those are Pennsylvania kids that he has on that roster. And so, I've known those kids probably since they've been 12 or 13 because most of them were at camps when I was at Penn State. And so it says a lot about where we're going because – Blacksburg is a really tough place to play. And if you look at it, they beat Florida State at home. They lost in 5 to North Carolina. I think we might have been, other than North Carolina, might have been the only team that beat them at Blacksburg. So, we played a really good game there. I thought we played a really good game here. We got into a nice rhythm. And we just do some things that drive them nuts a little bit. And they can do some things that drive us nuts a little bit. And we were just fortunate to come out on top.
You're at a school that's known for fielding big winners in a number of Olympic sports. Volleyball traditionally has not been one of them. Do you see the perception of UVA volleyball changing in the eyes of recruits and people outside the program?
Yeah, I would say yes to that. I don't want to get too specific with recruiting, but, we're sort of making some big inroads with recruiting right now. I'm pretty excited about where that's headed. The top kids in the country are now, wanting to know a little bit more about it. And that's, for us, that's a big, big step in the whole recruiting process when we can get those kids looking. And they understand that we have some good kids here and that they want to play with good kids. This is a real viable option for them. And not only that, they can play some really good volleyball and get a great education.
Emily Rotman, your only senior this season, how big a loss will she be, and how do you replace her as a player and as a leader?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think some of the kids that played a little bit this year are ready. That was one of the nice things is we got some contribution out of the freshmen, other back row players, the freshmen. And so I think, Lexi Ricklow is probably ready to go in that position a little bit. I think Carly Suber has proven that she can do some of those things. But as I meet with those two today, I'm going to explain to them it's a different level. I expect more things from out of you if you want to be the starting libero. We have a really good freshman coming in Haley Lynn out of California who can play. But it's tough. It's a different speed for those kids, so you don't really know. But I would expect her to be in that mix right now. The good part is we have some kids, some juniors who are ready to step in that leadership role. That's a big group, that junior class right now. And so I think some kids are ready to step up and be leaders of this team. And I think they understand that it's their time to take grasp of this team and run with it a little bit.
You mentioned Haley. You signed two players in last month, the letters of intent. What can you tell us about each of them?
Yeah, Haley Fauntleroy is a 6'2 middle hitter out of she went to New Trier outside of Chicago, north of Chicago. She spent some time with the junior national team. She's a fabulous player, and she's gonna fit well here. She's a great kid, wants to be good. adds a little bit of size, a little pop. She plays on a really good club team with good coaching. So we're really excited about getting her. I think I would expect her to have an immediate impact on us. She's going to come be able and play for us. Haley Lynn is can play the game. You know, she's a tough kid, smaller kid, back row kid, but quick and knows how to play, and California kid. So she understands. She's sort of a little bit like Emily was, and not as big, but probably a little bit quicker. She's a different style of back row player than what we've had in the past. But I would expect her to be competitive with our kids right away. And that's the thing I like about both of them right now, is I think they're both very competitive kids, and they're going to push some people. You know, when I look at kids, I don't need the happy go lucky kids. I some coaches want a good fit and they want the kids to all get along. That I'm not like that. They don't have to like each other. They just have to be able to play with each other. And so I want kids that are going to be competitive and want to compete. And I think that's what we're getting with this group right now.
You came here from Penn State, which has been a national powerhouse for many years. What appealed to you about the UVA job other than, you know, the obvious opportunity to be a head coach?
Well, it's not even the fact that it's a head coaching job. When you step on ground, you get a feeling for what this place is. And the more I got to know the people here and walk around and talk, and it felt right. It felt right for me. I wanted to be in a college town. I didn't want to be in a big city. You know, I've been at Penn State. It's a college town. I've been there for the past 16 years. It was what I wanted, what I felt comfortable with. I thought that if we can get some things turned around, we'll be able to get into the mix with the best kids in the country. I knew it would take a while, and it's actually probably happened a little faster than I thought we would be. But I thought that the administration showed a commitment to me by some of the things they were doing and where they wanted the program to go. And I think part of the whole process that you have to look at when you're looking at jobs is you want to look at the whole athletic department, and, you know, you walk down the hall here and, you know, you talk to George and you talk to Steve and you talk to, you know, any number, Julie and any number of people and Dom, and, you know, I just name those people and you go, yeah, that's a pretty good group to be around, you know, and Kevin Sauer's right next door to me. And, you know, and so, you know, I walk down the hallway and I can talk to those six people about things. That's a pretty great group of people. And, you know, you look around and you go, yeah, that's something that you want to be part of, and they're great programs to model your program after.
We got time for one final question. You are a Pennsylvania guy through and through, right?
Yeah.
Your whole life in PA before you moved down here. Yeah. What's been the biggest adjustment for you and your family living in Virginia?
Canceling school when it's raining. I think it's It's been really good for my family. I think my wife has adjusted very well to not being a coach, you know, because she was a full-time coach, and it was a little tough last fall. But I think we found a great neighborhood, and we love it here. We love everything that Charlottesville has to offer. It's interesting because, you know, The biggest thing is it's 4.5 hours, but the weather's a lot different, you know, at this point. And so that's probably always the biggest thing. That's the biggest adjustment for anyone moving. But I would say there hasn't been too many difficult things for us to really to adjust to, because everyone's been great, and we've found a place that we love, and we're extremely happy to be here.
Great. Well, Dennis, thanks again for stopping by. Have a great holiday.
You guys too.
Everyone else, thanks for listening. And remember to check virginiasports.com for news and updates on our 25 teams. And we'll be back soon with another Wahoo Central podcast.